time when the bill was taken back, there were those issues which needed to be dealt with regarding the position of farm workers in relation to the
So we feel that we should do that, members, because we have a responsibility to make sure that the systems in Parliament work in the manner that is able to deal with the system, so that we don't create a backlog when there should not be a backlog of legislation. Because we said this bill needs more work, because we need it, but it needs to be dealt with land affairs and the housing. But we are saying, given the space and the time that we have, there is no way that we are going to do justice in what we want to do. So we urge that members accept the fact that we reject the bill. It's unfortunate, we did not want to use rejection, but unfortunately, we have to do it this way, to help the department and to help Parliament in particular. So may I read then the proposed statement with regard to the rejection from the committee. Now read it, members. Have you got the copy, all of you? No.
No.
Oh, sorry. Why? No. They're saying the copy is only for the chairperson today. It can't work that way.
It's
always like that way.
Yeah.
Sorry, I did not know that. Okay. All right. I must get out of Parliament. I've been in Parliament for too long. Report of the Political Committee on Housing on the Prevention of Illegal Eviction from an All Unlawful Occupation of Land Amendment Bill, Bill 8 of 2008, National Assembly, Section 75, dated the 6th of August 2008. The bill was sent to the committee for the first time on the 14th of April 2005. Following the public hearing, the committee has deliberated thereon and resolved to refer the following to be incorporated into the bill, that is, the position of farm workers in relation to eviction, the alignment of provisions of the bill with ESTA and the Labour Tenants Act. The bill was subsequently withdrawn by the Minister of Housing. It was reintroduced and referred to the committee on the 7th of March 2008. During its consideration of the bill, the committee was noted with concern that the issues raised by it in 2005 had not been successfully addressed. The committee therefore recommended that the bill be rejected. Can we have the MOBA members and the seconder? Dix, supported by Scar and Dambuza. In that order. So, are we happy then that the bill is out of our system for now? Okay. We hope that the committee that is going to come will be able to deal with this matter. Say it in terms of the minutes, because it is necessary to have this piece of legislation. But for now, it's not able. For now, thank you, members. Thank you very much. Housing Development Agency Bill. Then we will need the State Law Advisor to come to us on this one, on the amendments. But, okay, ma'am, thanks. Just take us through, Mama.
The amendments are 3 to 2. In 4 2, on page 5, in line 17, I think members have got the and the DV not be there. The amendments and 29C and 29D.
Okay.
So I'm reading from 29C now. Oh, yeah, 29C. Can you hear one member? 29C?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. On page 5,
okay,
in line 17,
mm-hmm,
after children, to instill child-headed household.
Child-headed
household.
Okay.
So you will see that it appears in the details. Can I move on?
Yes, please.
Okay. The second amendment is in clause 7 on page 8 after line 15 to insert the following subsection, that is subsection 3.
Yeah.
The Social Housing Regulatory Authority is accountable to the Minister and Parliament.
We accept that, members?
Yes. Okay.
And then the other one?
Thank you, sir. The other one is in clause 19.
Mm-hmm.
Which reads as follows: on page 14,
okay,
in line 48, after Gazette,
mm-hmm,
to insert and after consultation with Parliament.
Mm-hmm.
Agreed.
Okay.
Agreed. Thank you, Chair. Those are all the amendments proposed by the NCOP to the Social Housing.
Can we move the acceptance of those amendments? Okay, you want to say something, Mr. Sten, just fine.
Chair, yes, thank you. I just want to ask the State Law Advisor a question. I accept the amendment, but do they think it's necessary that we should define child-headed households? Should there be a definition for that?
It was not seen as necessary in the NDS, so it was just like an term which is understood generally, a dictionary term, so there was no need to define it. But if the committee accepts it, then we also fine with it.
Can we accept this? Can we go for Mover?
Thank you,
Mover. Good morning.
Do we have the FDA certificate?
Good morning, Chair. On B1C of 2008.
B1C of 2008.
Okay.
On page 3, after 943, to insert the following definition: communal land. Means communal land as defined in section 1 of the Communal Lands Act. On page 4, after 97, insert the following definition: relevant authority, which means provincial and local government, including traditional authorities. On page 4, clause 4, in line 22, to omit 1. Can I move on?
I'm waiting for members to respond on the third amendment.
Okay.
Communal land.
Communal land, yeah.
Members, what is our position?
Agree.
On page 4, after line 7.
after line 7 to insert the definition of relevant authority. On page 4 in line 23, after state to insert communal. And then on page 4 in line 28, to omit ensure and to substitute monitor. Page 4. Instead of to say ensure that there is centrally coordinated planning, we say monitor that there is centrally. Sorry, this is from the D bill contains the amendments of the C bill, so the B bill will be line 28, but the D bill includes all the amendments.
Chair, on this particular amendment, they propose that we take out the word ensure and put in monitor.
Yeah.
I think the whole purpose of our discussion as far as the HDA was concerned was in fact not for them just to monitor the planning, but to in fact ensure, particularly with us, that there was integrated planning. Because the two words have different meanings. And our view was that rather than just monitor that they do it, that they must make sure that they do it. I would therefore propose that we actually leave the word ensure.
Sure, one could even put monitor and ensure. So you monitor, and then after monitoring, you can ensure. So it shows that there's a process that follows up to the committee if you want belt and braces approach. Okay, so it will be monitor and ensure.
Okay.
I think we just need to clarify as well. We had a concern yesterday that if we do make amendments, what is the process going to be? Because we don't want to unnecessarily delay the implementation of the bill. So could we have an idea, if we make an amendment like this, for example, what is the process forward? Does it have to go back to the NCOP, or can there be some sort of mediation?
And we want to let you know that we want to act.
The sequence, let's ensure, and then you monitor after ensuring. But I wanted to put it that way. You ensure, and then you monitor. Yeah, there is. Not on this one.
On page 4 in 92, to omit after and to substitute in. So the agency must in consultation with the relevant instead of after consultation.
Agreed.
Let's move on.
Agreed, yes.
Okay. then on page 4 in 1937, yeah. After May, to insert in consultation with the relevant EEC.
Okay. Mm. 37?
Yeah. Agree?
The minister may in consultation with the relevant
EEC.
Okay, fine.
Okay. Close 6?
Close 6.
On page 5 in 93. To omit agency and to substitute minister.
Why? Can you explain that one, Professor?
Okay, sorry, Chair, if I can maybe explain one of the reasons why they said the minister, because the current expropriation legislation provides for the minister. So in this, we give the agency the power, so we never wanted it to be a conflict, we wanted this to be workable. So that's why they took out agency and put minister in. To be
Chair, this amended this B1D doesn't reflect on the fifth agency.
It's section C, sorry, section 6, subsection 2, which is subject to section 25 of the Constitution of the Republic of South Africa, 1996. The minister may expropriate land for the purposes of creating sustainable human settlements.
Oh,
dear.
So it's covered,
yes.
Yeah.
Are you fine, sir?
Well, no, I'm fine, yes. Yeah. Yeah. Maybe what you could ask, instead of referring us to the page, the line number, then they refer in future now if you go through to the actual section that they're dealing with.
The DBO, this one that we're working on, has everything in already. Okay. So on page 5, in 957. On page 5 in 954, to omit measures and to substitute such measures as may be prescribed. Okay. And then clause 8 on page 5 So
yes.
Clause 8 is now on your page 6 of the D-bill. Okay. Yes. In 957, after must, to insert in consultation with. After must, to insert after consultation with MINMEC. So it's now the paragraph, section 8, subsection 1, now reads the minister must, comma, after consultation with MINMEC, comma, conclude a written mandate with the agency as soon as possible, comma, but not later than 6 months after the appointment of the board.
Why MINMEC?
We have a problem with
MINMEC. Why MINMEC?
It's a pity that you could not get to the because once you include MINMEC here, you make the process. It is assumed that whatever MINMEC does have is a taken the
mandate with the agents as soon as possible, comma. Is it necessary to put a comma and then say but?
I think it basically provides easy reading, so it just breaks the sentence down because it is a complex sentence.
Oh, okay.
So it just breaks it down, but I mean, we're free to take out the comma if you.
Yeah, because there's no need, there's no need for that comma.
Yeah.
No, Chair, I just wanted to clarify now. If we are actually rejecting an amendment that has been passed by the NCOP, can we reject this without it going back to the NCOP?
We can.
Can we? Okay, no, that's what I wanted to check. Thanks.
Put our original. Because I think there was something that we could check. You can check on the original.
The amendments are brought to us so that we have an understanding of the issue that NCOP raised, you see. But some of the issues they were raising, they did not take into account the consideration of what we have dealt with, because the issue of MINMEC did arise earlier on. And the reason why we did not want to carry it was the fact that it will delay the process. And yet the MINMEC, in any case, in her operations, take into account the decisions of MINMEC, which means that matter has been carried with in her functions in any case. Now, it means that before they do anything, they must have a resolution of MINMEC. You can't have that. You can't operate that way. Okay. Let's hear from the sector advisors what the member was raising.
Regarding the MINMEC?
Yes.
Sorry, Chair, I wasn't privy to those meetings. Another colleague of mine was dealing with that meeting. It's another meeting, but maybe the department, someone from the department who was at those meetings are able to shed light on it.
No. What the member is saying is that if, for example, we're saying that this MINMEC must be removed from here, would that mean that the legislation must go back to the NCOP? That's what we are trying to find out.
I need to check with the rules. Chair, can I get back to you on that? I don't have the answer right now. I'm sure the parliamentary law advisors may be in a better position to advise, but I'll check with the rules and I can get back to the committee on that.
Can we have the committee section helping? You are not saying that for again. Sorry.
Okay. If the committee rejects the amendments of the
NCOP,
then because this is Section 76, then it goes for mediation.
Yes, sir.
Chair, then can I pose another question then? Because obviously this is now more of a complex problem. But can I just find out in other legislation, even other than housing, as well as housing legislation, do other pieces of legislation have such a section in it where it says that the minister must consult with the MinMet before taking certain decisions? Can we just get clarification on that? Is that a standard practice in all legislation, or is this an exception that's come up? Thanks, Chair.
Thank you.
Madam Chair, the the example that is readily available is then the Housing Act, in which it does provide that the minister, in carrying out her mandate as per the Act, must consult with the MECs of each province, with the MECs and South. So it does make that requirement. In this case, and I'm not so much arguing the merits or demerits, I'm just saying practically, because MINMEC is a structure that is established in terms of the IGRF Act, you would then have that consultation taking place anyway, because it's established to facilitate consultation between the minister and the provinces. I would have been more comfortable with the consultation with MEC rather than MINMEC, because MINMEC requires then the structure to sit. But otherwise, from a logistical point of view, it's inconsequential. The outcome can be achieved still.
Remember, you know what? Given the fact that this has been rejected, must go for mediation, and you don't want any mediation. Once the implementation of this piece of legislation, I don't think we should really
place our heads
whether we give the MINMEC or not MINMEC. Let's go ahead. Just leave it as is. My appeal to you,
members. Okay. Chair, maybe it's some sort of consolidation that occurs. Is that they say after consultation with MINMEC, so you don't need to get the agreement, so you consult with them, and then you can still proceed and do, so you don't need to have the buy-in.
Okay.
So I think maybe one could look at maybe creative ways of consultation. What does consultation mean in order not to keep up the process? I think that's a good thing. So they say after instead of in consultation. Clause 12 on page 7. The changes from here is basically consequential changes on page 7 in 944. Okay, to omit 10 and to substitute 11. That is now the new line 54. That is section 12, subsection 8, which now reads, if after due process it is found that the board member has become disqualified from membership of the board in terms of section 11. The minister must remove the member from the board by written notice to the member. So that's a consequential change. On page 7 in 946, to omit 12 and to substitute 13, that is section 12, subsection 9, which now reads, any vacancy occurring on the board must, comma, subject to section 13, comma, be filled in the same way as a departing member was appointed to the board. So that's a consequential change. Okay, is that accepted?
Perhaps if I could get some enlightenment on this. The way it now reads, when it says subject to that section, it's almost my understanding is almost as if it's that section 13 is a condition. Should it not rather than be any vacancy occurring on the board must, I'm looking for a word, that word subject. But either the word subject needs to change or it should be subject to section 12, which talks more about the way. It says appointment and removal. So a vacancy occurring must subject to the appointment and removal be filled, rather than 30.
What they did, they only changed the number. The content of the provision still stands like the bill was, like the previous version. It's only the number that has changed because of consequential changes. So the wording stays the same. So it's only the section which now makes reference to Section 11, which previously made reference to Section 10.
Should it not be subject to Section 12? I'm purely raising this. Should it not be subject to the way the appointment and removal rather than the actual procedure of resignation?
Chair, I've just gone through these amendments now. Unless I'm reading these amendments wrong, I don't see any subsection having changed. I don't see the insertion of any new subsection. If there's the insertion of a new subsection, yeah, then sure the numbering will change, but there hasn't been, according to these amendments. Therefore, it should remain subsection 12.
Instead to omit 12 and 13. If you can have a look at the D version, it talks about on 13.
Mm-hmm.
13 talks about resignation, removal from office, and vacancies.
Mm-hmm.
And if we have a look at that particular clause, it talks exactly about disqualification, because it says if after due process it is found that the board members have become disqualified
mm-hmm.
from the membership of the board in terms of that particular section, if you never look at 13 or removal from office, it talks about that. And the minister must remove the member from the board by written notice to the member. I think the that is the cross-reference that we're referring to.
Because
it's relevant, it talks about, section 13.
It remains 13, yes.
Then 13 has to stand. Then 13 has to stand.
Because if you can tell me the clause 12, clause 12 has got that one.
Yes.
For appointment and all that.
Yes. So you cannot just refer to 12
also
on
12. In terms of resignation, removal of the end vacancies that arise at the resignation,
you
need taking to put in the form.
Chair, I think this is exactly what I was saying. That word subject is misleading. It should then be as a result or it needs to be linked to 13, but it's not subject to 13.
Yeah.
In terms of Section 13.
In terms
thank
of
you.
Floor 13.
Yeah.
On page 7 in line 52, to omit, it's 13, subsection 2, which now makes reference to, which makes reference to section 9, 2B12. Yeah. Okay, sure. And then clause 32? In 913, after agency, to insert and parliament. So that's section 32, clause 32, sub clause 1, which now reads, the minister must, comma, after consultation with the agency and parliament, make regulations regarding.
Chair, I think, and I'm not very sort of stuck on this one, but I think we discussed this in our original deliberation. There's a difference between the regulations that will govern the implementation of the agency. This one, and somebody in our committee mentioned it. This one, in fact, I think it was from the department. This one deals with the administration of the agency. And I'm wondering, therefore, if it's necessary for it then to come to Parliament. Because if you look at it here, it talks about the meetings, how many meetings, those sorts of things. It's different to the regulations that we normally want some sort of interaction and oversight with. So, but like I say, I'm not, it's not a hard and fast one for me, but I just want to point it out. It's more administrative regulations between the minister and the agency, and I'm not sure if we need to play a role in that.
Ma'am, the committee in its deliberations on the earlier, was it the B version?
Yeah.
Asserted that it would want to be consulted on the regulations that get passed. So it was across all those sets of regulations. So it was at the insistence of the committee, Madam Chair. We tried to draw that distinction, however, the committee felt strongly that this is that consultation with Parliament remains necessary.
Well, Chair, if we look at the BBO, which is the committee's stuff, you'll in fact see in the very next clause, clause 2, we did put in agency and Parliament. And that's why I say that discussion came up. So for the regulations pertaining to the Act, the prescription, we've put in agency and Parliament. But when it comes to the administration of the agency, we actually left out Parliament. So clause 2's got agency and Parliament.
Sir, there's no harm in this. Let's not... coming up. There's no harm on this, and this is this portfolio committee who has been raising regularly that we need these institutions to be accountable. That's all. We know what is going to happen. We know the operation. We're not going to disturb the operation. So it's not a fast person. Let's leave it as it is.
No, Chair, I mean, I don't have a problem, but I just wanted to find out, though, and I think I've asked this question previously. Mm-hmm. What is the standard practice in terms of general legislation? Mm-hmm. In legislation in general, does it normally state that the minister must consult with Parliament in terms of regulations? And the reason why I ask that, because generally, in any of the committees that I've served in, we don't see those regulations. So I'm just wanting to get an understanding. Thanks.
We were doing the new entity altogether. and we're putting a legislation and we say, no, this method will just be the regulation, this method will just be the legislation. You think that then?
We want it. See, I think it's also standard practice for the departments to do the regulations, and I think, and if I look at other committees that I've attended also, there's an increase at Parliament wanting to see the regulations, because many times the legislation provides a framework and it doesn't provide how it will be practically implemented here. So then Parliament calls to see how it, because I'd say the detail or the devil is in the detail, which is the regulations itself. And even if you look at this, if they're really bringing regulations, if you look at section 32, clause 32, sub clause 2, which says the minister may, after consultation with the agency of parliament, make regulations regarding any matter. And that also pertains to regulations. Now you want to separate, okay, we want to see this regulations and not that. But if you have it like this, it will pertain to all the regulations, so the parliament can see the full regulations instead of just part of it and part of it.
Chairperson?
Yes.
Just before we move off this particular one, I don't know where I should raise this, but I'm asking then that certainly as this committee, before the term of office comes to an end on this piece of legislation, that we make a note, that we follow up, that we actually get to see the regulations.
We want to remind you, we said when we come back, before this parliament finishes its term, we want to engage with the department in terms of progress on HD. You want to say something, Joe?
Oh, okay. Ma'am, certainly the department would, given the opportunity, be happy to share with the committee the implementation arrangements around the HDA. We are ready.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think to respond to Honorable Krenke's response is that even during the process of passing of regulations, if the primary legislation provides clearly to say that the regulations must, you know, be consulted with Parliament, then those regulations must be consulted with Parliament or eventually they will be declared invalid.
My colleagues, I just want to take the committee back. I just looked closely on clause 4. The committee agreed to add monitor and control. I think in line with the rules, if you add monitor control, it then changes the amendment from the NCOP. So it means you are then amending the D bill. So if the committee will leave with only monitor, I think that would be fine. But if you now add the monitor and control, then you are changing the D bill. So it will then mean you are amending the bill. So that's my mistake. I just look closely at the clause now.
Craig, we don't want anything that will take the bill back to NCOP. Craig, yes.
I mean, Chair, under normal circumstances, I would say no. This thing must go back. Because this actually changes what we wanted, when we deliberated on this bill. And one of the things that we spoke about, and I think I raised this point as well, was the whole issue of actually ensuring that there's this coordinated planning and budgeting. It's one of the things that we've consistently raised. If now, and this has actually been diluted a bit, because the monitor just means, read in a report and so on. But it doesn't mean that you're actually ensuring it happens, because one of the questions we've been asking is, even in terms, if you look at the BNG, etc., where it's been talking about the central planning, central budgeting, etc., or coordinate, centrally coordinate the planning and budgeting, but nobody's ensuring that it happens. And that's why we pushed, I remember very clearly, that's why we pushed for that to be in here, so that we actually have somebody or a body that's actually making sure that that's happening. But now, if you remove that, just what we've got here, monitor, it takes away what we actually wanted. And I don't know, I don't know. I'm saying in a normal circumstance, I'd say no, send it back.
Ensure. Bring back that ensure.
Why didn't you bring back the
Chair, I agree with everything that Greg has said. I just want to ask my learned friend here, because he spoke about monitoring and control, which was a new word. What we suggested was leave ensure, which is already there, and add the monitor from the NCOP. Now, would the same still apply if we did it that way?
Sorry, I think my mistake is not that control. I think the NCOP says that in the debut, they've taken up ensure. So now what the committee is saying is that you want to bring back
ensure.
So you're changing what is coming from the NCOP.
No,
it's
our initial.
I'm not a legal person, but I understood in the beginning that if we reject an NCOP amendment, it doesn't have to go back. The bottom line is then we leave out monitor and we just leave ensure as it was. We thought we'd accommodate them and say ensure and monitor. So I think if push comes to shove, I would be in favor of leaving out monitor, not accepting this, and leave out ensure. Then it doesn't have to go back.
Yeah.
Now, if we reject an amendment from them, apparently it doesn't have to go back.
Now, Chairperson, I don't really have a question, but what you are saying, that was initially there. It must come back. And Chairperson, I would like to compare with the Comrade Greg. We were fighting because we said we wanted
We wanted an agency as I was on saving. So if now we're saying it's going to monitor, and then what's the point? Because they have to ensure and then monitor. So Chairperson, Leo, we're not going to compromise, Chairperson, this one.
I'm not going to compromise this one. Now she pinned the hitter below me, and I didn't have it.
You have to
wait. I have to wait until.
All right, let me ask something here. How long does the mediation take?
Only a few minutes.
No. I can't remember what I'm doing there. You cannot compromise with that.
How long does the mediation take?
It will have to wait for the House to set up the mediation committee, and the mediation committee can sit if the Houses provide membership list, it can sit the following day and complete, because if it's not a controversial thing, I don't see it being controversial.
It's not controversial, because
it's not controversial.
No change, it's fine, but there's also another option that I'm just thinking aloud. It's just that also if the committee really wants to pass this, vote to pass this, but then maybe to bring an amendment sometime so that at least that things can get off the ground and to amend it afterwards or go to mediation.
No,
Chairperson, I was waiting for it to be raised that this would have to go for mediation.
Mm.
And that can only be done by a resolution of the House, I think it is, as was correctly said. It has to be that mediation committee has to be formed in both Houses, if I'm not mistaken. Now, our plenaries are only sitting for the period 18 to 22 August. I would want to suggest that we ask the whip of the committee to urgently now today or something to find out. You see, if they go the route of mediation, that program may be so full that they may not be able to accommodate this book. And then it has to wait until we come back in, I think it's October or September. So I think we need to find that out, because we might find ourselves actually stuck and delaying the ball. So I need to think, we need to find out what are our actual options here.
We have other options that we could use without going with mediation or whatever, but getting the material message that might be
done. Chair, I'm still not convinced. We were told earlier, if we reject an amendment from the NCOP, we don't accept that amendment, it doesn't have to go back. We actually not, if we reject that amendment, it stays as it is, it's then not an amendment. It's the bill as we had it.
Yeah.
So merely what we're doing is that particular amendment from the NCOP, we're rejecting, we're not accepting it. Then we leave the word monitor out completely. Is that understanding wrong? Because we're not changing it, we're just rejecting the amendment.
My understanding is that the bill that is now before the committee is the D bill. That your B bill has been amended by the NCOP, is now the D bill. So what the committee is doing is now looking at the amendments from the NCOP. So if the committee then wants to amend the D bill that is coming from the NCOP.
If you're
changing the bill that is coming from the NCOP. If you're changing one aspect from the bill, it means that you are amending the D bill.
If
we
don't change it,
you
just reject
it.
We
reject one amendment,
and
we do nothing. We don't change it.
We don't
change
it.
No,
please. Mr. Mamabolo has corrected himself that he adds. It was just a mistake that it is not, when it is rejected, there's nothing that goes back to NCOP. He has just corrected himself that it was wrong. Then it means when we reject, it means it must go back.
Yes.
This is Rule 274 of the National Assembly Rules. The heading is Reconsideration of Section 76, 1 Bills. If amended by the council. And then 274 subrule 2 says the committee to which the council's amended bill is referred, A, may consult the appropriate council committee or the chairperson of that committee, B, may not propose any amendment to the bill.
May not. May.
Yes.
May.
So if you're proposing to leave out or to bring in anything from the bill as it comes from the NCOP, my understanding is that unless I could be wrong, but my understanding is that you're then amending the bill that is coming from the NCOP.
No. Jefferson, I would agree with that. I would agree with what you're saying, because I don't think we must just pass this particular thing for the sake of passing it. But what I would like to suggest, and whilst informally the whip has been saying to me there's no problem for mediation, etc., during that plenary session, but I still think it needs to be officially checked.
Yes.
Because we need to make sure that we're not just going to presume it'll be accommodated, because there may be no way that it can be accommodated for whatever reason, and then it may be able to be accommodated. So what I want to suggest is that we hold back on this law. And if it can be accommodated, because I don't think we must pass this right now with our amendment. Mm-hmm. I think what I'm suggesting is that the chair and the whip need to go and consult and check with the programming section, check with the chief whip's office, etc. and make quite sure that when we pass this with our amendment, that everything's in place, so that it will still be, the bill will still actually be passed during that plenary session. That would be my proposal, unless there's another way of doing it. Thanks, Chair.
I will accept that with only one condition, on condition that we don't add any other amendment. We're focusing only on this one.
Yes.
Because
yes.
We're almost agreed on everything.
Yes. Yes.
So that we don't open this bill again in terms of amendments, because we have agreed with everything else except this one.
Yes.
So any mediation should only be focused on this clause and nothing. No other
yes.
clause will be opened up or negotiations will be opened up.
Yes.
In that way, it will frustrate the sitting of the mediation and it frustrate the decision making in that process.
Thank you.
You see, and there was a, in clause 12, when they said as a substitute 13, there was a proposal that they say in terms of section 13. So, is that still going to stand? Or?
No.
The committee will have to report to the House, and
yeah.
and if the House adopts the report of the committee, then the bill immediately goes for mediation.
To the implementation of this thing, which might affect the money we have appropriated to set up and all kinds of things. I just want to raise it to get a sense as to whether that risk, if it realizes, could not be reduced by a fallback position.
We were scheduled to sit until 1 today. I don't think we've got anything else on the agenda. I want to propose that we adjourn for half an hour and that the relevant officials find out exactly what the situation is under in a situation like this, whether it has to go to the House, whether isn't there a mediation process where the two chairs could, for example, perhaps get together. Because, I mean, we're talking about really small amendments here, which doesn't affect... And that we reconvene, because if we don't, I'd rather see us adopt the bill subject to, say, the two chairs sorting that out than waiting for a whole new process. So if we could maybe adjourn for half an hour.
The Constitution and the rules dictate that if the two houses do not agree, it goes for mediation.
Members, there's another route which is being suggested, which by the route would be, I know you won't be angry with me, but this is the route that we can take, that we pass this legislation and then urgently ask the minister to bring amendments to the bill.
It's another, that's another route. But I can see now, because in terms of time of parliament, that's not going to be announced. We don't have the time ourselves. So it is this, I mean, the mediation may be faster than that even.
Unless you don't want it, you can take it back. Members, there has been an interaction with the Parliament with regard to the processes regarding this mediation process. We have been informed that the mediation process can be set up without delay, and that what we need to do as a committee is to make a committee report that states the fact that we have agreed to those other amendments, and that there are two issues, and they stipulate those that need mediation. And then that report should be returned to Parliament. And once they receive this report, the process is underway right now between the chair of chairs and the chief whip to set up the mediation as soon as possible. It may either be set up tomorrow or Friday or any other day. It won't wait for the House to that process. It's going to be set up even before those House sit. As long as we write the report of the committee, of this committee, officially send it to Parliament, and copies sent to Jeff Deutsch, so they can act on it as soon as possible. At least there's that assurance.
Yes. Chair, just briefly, what does the mediation process entail? Is it the committees that get together? Is it the chairs? What is it?
No, the I think the chief would set up mediation committee as it sets any ad hoc committee. That is the format. But we have urged them, that's internal, that at least the housing members should be considered, because definitely, I mean, how do you set up mediation committees? Otherwise, they will open up other amendments. And in fact, what we're going to discuss is they don't know the issues. But they did give me assurance that I will be in that committee. But I'm sure my members will also be in that committee. So you will have to lobby yourself, that's right, that they don't send somebody else who knows nothing about this mediation on your party, because definitely I don't know what committee, mediation committee, what it entails. but we have been assured that it will be set up. Okay. It's underway as we speak. The waiting on our report. So can we dispense then with this legislation saying that, read it, what you say here. May I read it? Sorry. Report of the Portfolio Committee on Housing on the Housing Development Agency Bill, National Assembly, Section 76, dated 6th of August 2008. The Portfolio Committee on Housing, having considered the Housing Development Agency Bill, D, of 2008, National Assembly, Section 76, Subsection 1, amended by the National Council of Provinces and referred to the committee, report that it has agreed to some amendments with two issues that need mediation. And we'll stipulate what is to, that's clause 4 on page 4 in line with to omit those two pieces of legislation. Sorry, those two clauses that we spoke of. So that would be the report sent. And we urge that Parliament sets up the mediation committee as soon as possible because we don't want to further delay the passing of the bill. I think that would be suffice. Don't you think so? Okay. If it's that agreed to, this has been the decision of the committee. You were not here when I spoke, no? Were you here? Now, what I'm saying, we have been assured that a mediation committee will be set up as soon as possible. It won't even wait for the plenary. It should be set up before, as long as we write a report to Parliament that states that the committee had observed that there are two issues that need mediation. We tell them that we've agreed with certain amendments, but there are two issues that need mediation. And we'll stipulate those issues that need mediation so that that gets set up as soon as possible. Okay? Yes.
I also spoke to Mr. Lowe, the program. Yes. He was also of the view that because the report is a recommendation to the House.
Mm.
So once your report is adopted by the House on the first sitting day, he says that then only then would the mediation committee be set up and then proceed to consider the bill.
No, just the seniors and Sam Low.
Yeah.
Sam Low is a whip.
Yes.
Very important strategic, but definitely it's not decision maker.
Yeah. Oh, tell them. You must know that. Yeah, come on. No, I don't know. He is correct.
Members, yesterday, Ungama Gitat, and I'm saying, unless you phone will because it's still your work. Okay. But thank you very much for your time. I just want to talk about the issue that we've agreed yesterday. That we need to, management committee must report back to the committee.
Yeah.
Sorry. In terms of the plan to have the conference that we've planned, because the other members were not in the management committee. It's not going to be a long meeting, members, please. But what we want you to agree in principle to set up a committee that's going to prepare for this conference. And I would also advise that the management committee takes up that process, and we call upon any other member of the committee to assist because we can give tasks to all members of the committee. But I want us that to be the decision of the committee that we go ahead with the conference that we have planned towards the end of September. But the time depends entirely on the program of Parliament. We must look at the program of Parliament, look at our program, so that we don't want clashes by any chance. Okay. Meeting members.
I thought that is a good announcement. And we are accepting the announcement as a chair. That the management must take the process forward.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Aiding with other people.
Yeah.
Experience.
Okay. Comrades. So, which means even the team of the committee, we should work with this management, the different round tables that we are going to have in terms of discussions, so all those elements. Thank you very much. Agreed.
Yeah.
And then we will definitely set up the committee. Lastly, members.
That's a contest.
What are you saying, Susie?
No, I'm saying we're going to contest.
I just also wanted to thank members who are going to represent us in the women housing in Daba in Kimberley. They are leaving today. They are leaving today and they are coming back on Friday. But you have all the blessings of the committee. It will be recorded in our minutes that you went as a delegation of the committee to that side.
Yes.
Members, wow. One of the things that makes me not go to Kimberley is the issue of the fraud bomb, the Irene, who passed away. You must remember our committee is part of the Wallerstein case is our case. So that woman passed away. So we must attend, those members won't be going to Kimberley. They must attend the memorial service of Irene Khotbom, which is scheduled for Thursday. But we also thought we would have an opportunity to visit the family before the memorial service, even if it's tomorrow. But we just have to coordinate because we haven't interacted with the family as such. We have asked other people to go to the family and see if we could pay our respects as a committee beforehand. If that suits you, member.
I'm fine.
Hey, I'm so fine, Yemna. You just came at the time we were talking about the hot bomb thing. And we wanted to be recorded. It's a video call, so it's not here, but we recorded in 1 minute. That we have noted the passing away of Irene hot bomb. And it is a hard feeling for the committee because we thought by now she would be accommodated. But be that may, these issues happen, but we will continue working hard in providing our people with housing. But we were saying people must attend the memorial service. But we will give the information to Kuliso so that Kuliso can SMS members of the details. And we were saying it would be nice to have one or two members of the committee visiting the family before the funeral. Before the funeral or before the memorial service. So we'll call upon members available as soon as we engage with the family. We'll send SMSs and call members so that we can, the Khotbom case, we must follow up the family so that we're able as a committee to visit this family. Even if two or three members don't have to go, all of us, on behalf of even one or two or three members. Can go, whoever goes will go on behalf of the committee. All right? And we also say to members who are representing us in Kimberley, farewell. Are you going with them?
No.
Lazy. Okay. That is the end of the meeting, members.
They're going to take care of us, members. Wherever members are, they need someone to take care of
them. Oh, well, the person who's going to lead the delegation there is going to be Dambuza. Kimberley. And the person who's going to take care of the delegation is Thabo.
Thabo!
Wow! Thabo! And I can assure you, members, I can tell you now, with Thabo and Charlotte, you are in good hands. With Thabo and Charlotte, rest assured, you are in good, good, good hands. Yes. Thank you very much, members. The meeting is closed. Must talk about when we're going to meet for the.
Yeah. If I need it.
Yes, please.
Yes, I'm going to go to the house.
I have to go to the house.
Remember, if the thing aligns, you don't eat.